That ball hit in left field. Get over his head. It will. Thank you very much. Don't bounce over the fence. Dadgummit. I'll tell you what. Mark Burley is one of. Joe West just wanted to stick it right up his behind, and he did. He should be suspended. You gotta be bleeping me. Mercy.
It's a wonder he hadn't torn everything up the way he swings the bat. I'm talking about pecs, triceps, biceps. Sphincter.
He had couldn't pull a grease tee out of my behind with a pair of pliers.
Don't stop now, boys.
309-720 WGN Weekend. This is Rob Hart, and that was the voice of Ken the Hawk Harrelson. And you see him every summer on WGN TV, on WCIU, on Comcast Sportsnet, and right now you hear him on WGN Radio. Hawk, how are you?
Great, Rob. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Well, first off, this is a tremendous thrill for me because you've been on TV doing Sox games practically all my life. So I don't know White Sox baseball without your voice. So if I sound a little nervous, that's because I am.
Well, over a quarter of a century, I mean, that's, it's amazing how just time flies. It really is. It's, it's, what, 35 years in the booth, 52 years, going on 52 years in the game, and it just seems like not too long ago, I was 17 years old, just starting out my professional baseball career in 1959.
Well, let's go back to 1981 when you first came to Chicago, because now you're considered, you're Mr. White Sox and known all over the country as one of the biggest White Sox homers out there, and it kind of surprises people when you tell them that you never really had any connection with the team until you were hired in the early 80s to do the games on the old Sports Vision with Don Drysdale. You were known as a member of the Red Sox before then.
Yeah, it was. And in fact, when they called to ask me if I'd be interested in coming to Chicago, I still had a long-term contract with the Red Sox at the time. In fact, I had just signed it the year before. And so I told the general manager there at WSBK TV in Boston that I'd been contacted by the White Sox and blah, 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 blah. So he said, do you want to go? And I said, yes, I'd love to go. I always had an affinity for the White Sox. And said, in fact, the White Sox were one of the first teams that just scouted me as a, as a high school kid. And as a matter of fact, they wanted to sign me as a catcher. And for some reason, I always liked the White Sox. Plus, we have a lot of relatives in South Bend. In fact, we built a home down there. And I commute every day back and forth for the games. But for some reason, you know how some places strike you. And the White Sox, the Chicago White Sox, I just wanted to go there. They let me out of my contract in Boston. I came there, and it's been over a quarter of a century.
And you came into the situation, and I went back into the Tribune archives, and I think you signed the papers in November of 81, and you called it the worst-kept secret in town that you were interested in the White Sox and they were interested in you. But you came into a situation where Harry Carey had just left for the North Side, I think the week before, and that Harry and Jimmy Pearsall were extremely popular White Sox broadcasters. And now you have to come in and try and fill their shoes. What was that like in the first couple of months trying to take over for two guys who were very popular with White Sox fans?
Well, Don and I didn't try to fill anybody's shoes. We wanted to fill our own. So it was just one of those things that I was happy to work with Don. To me, Don Drysdale was one of the greatest announcers baseball has ever had. He was a Hall of Fame pitcher, and he also knew everything about the game. He knew hitting. He knew situations. And that's very unusual for a guy to have that much knowledge, to be that comprehensive, so to speak. We never even talked about Harry or Jimmy. I grew up with Harry in Savannah, Georgia as a kid. I'd go to bed at night, and that's the only station we could get was KMOX in St. Louis. And I would lie in my bed, fighting the mosquitoes because we had holes in our window screens. But and then Harry and I were very, every time I ever played a game against wherever he was announcing, he always interviewed me. But no, when we came in, we didn't even think about Harry and Jimmy. We just wanted to do our thing. And a lot of people to this day say that was maybe one of, if not the best teams that ever was assembled. It was Drysdale and myself.
And just because so many years have passed and because Don Drysdale sadly passed away almost 20 years ago, people tend to forget how good of a team that was. And you can find out there on the Internet people who have, clearly violated Major League Baseball copyright rules. But there is video out there of you two doing Sox games in 1982 and 83. And just listening to how slick and professional it was. I mean, it was almost network quality. And I know Don had done some work from ABC. I know you worked for the Red Sox, but did ABC call on you to do Monday Night Baseball 30 years ago?
Yeah, they wanted me to do it. And Howard Cosell, Howard was the precursor to the announcing business, in my opinion. He was a guy who was not a baseball man, but he was the two best interviewers I've ever seen in my life were Ted Koppel and Howard Cosell. And he wanted me to do Monday Night Baseball with him, and I wouldn't do it. And so he asked me one day, he said, Hawk, he says, why don't you want to do Monday Night Baseball with me? And I said, Howard, because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. He looked at me and started laughing like you just did. He said, well, don't tell anybody. But, no, I have never really liked doing anything but a club. I did a couple of games for NBC. They wanted me to do some games for them, and I said, that's enough. No. Because when people call me a homer, that's the biggest compliment I can be paid. And I'll tell you something. We have, with the White Sox now, a unique situation. We have four announcers there that are passionate about the White Sox. And when we win, we're happy. When we lose, we're pissed. And I've never seen that with another organization. A lot of announcers, the only thing they want to do is have a quick game. That's all. Farmio and DJ and Stoney and myself, we don't care if we got to stay there till 2 o'clock in the morning as long as we win. And that's a very unique situation. So I love it there. I think when we don't do a game, we have a lot of days off. Stoney and I do because Fox picks it up, ESPN picks it up, and I'll listen to as much as I can the radio. And we have a terrific radio broadcast team, and I really love working with Stoney. We have a good time.
And I was going to ask you about that, the catchphrases and just all of the things that have developed over the 25 years, 26 years now that you've been with the team. And I think when I first came in, first started really listening to you as an announcer, it was 1990 or 91. So Frank Thomas was the Big Hurt. Craig Graybeck was the Little Hurt. And Lance Johnson was One Dog. Carlos Lee was El Caballo. How do these names come to you, and do you still try and apply them every now and then?
Well, you know, I've had players come to me and ask me to give them a nickname, and I tell them I can't do that. It's got to happen. I just can't sit around and think about what would I call Rob Hart, what would I call Ellis Burks, what would I call Darren Jackson. You just don't do it that way. It just happens. It evolves. And you see, in my time zone, when I played baseball, you never called anybody by their name. They either had a nickname or you called them by their number. For Al Kaline, it was either the line or six, number six. You know, for Ted Williams, it was Teddy Ball Game or number nine. So it was the thing where it was either Yaz or number eight. You'd call him, hey, eight, or you'd say Yaz. So you never called anybody by really their name, and it was that's just the way I grew up. And so probably, you know, Chris Berman and I probably have given more guys nicknames than any two guys, in history. In fact, I was just watching MLB the other night, and they put the 50 greatest nicknames in baseball's history. There have been, thousands and thousands of them. Then they put the Big Hurt as number 19. And Frank, it just happened one day, he just kept hitting hard line drives all over the ballpark, and I said he hurt that one, he hurt that one, hurt that one. Then he had a tremendous home run, and he's going around first base, and I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, the Big Hurt, and it just blurted out, So when people say, well, how do you come up with these nicknames? I don't come up with them. They just evolve, and then all of a sudden it pops out.
Well, your former partner, Darren Jackson, I mean, you called him Feisty for all those years.
He's Feisty.
Yeah.
He is feisty, I'll tell you.
Well, just to give you an idea of how much watching you over the years has just infected my brain, there was during the 2008 American League Division Series, my dad and I were watching Game 4 at U.S. Cellular Field, and he and I were just talking about the game, and just out of nowhere, I just said to my dad, I tell you one thing, Feisty, he is the best I've ever seen in the Hawk Harrelson voice, and then he's calling me Feisty for the rest of the game. So it's that's just a father and son watching the baseball game doing their best Hawk, and it happens all over the ballpark.
Yeah, it does, and you know, and it's flattering. There's no question about that, and I get a big kick because I get some friends of mine. You know, they'll give me a buzz, and they'll have their child on the air, and they'll say, "You can put it on the board, yes," you know, or they'll say, "He gone," and it's just something that I have. You know, all the catchphrases I use really are just things that I use when I played, with the exception of the Big Hurry or nickname. But, again, you just can't sit around and try to create something like that.
It just happens.
Doesn't happen. It's got to be spontaneous. And as I said, if it happens, it does. I could never, ever. Ellis Burks wanted me to come up with a nickname for him, and I tried during the game to sit there and watch him. You got to do something, you know. And Ellis was just such a solid player that he was so solid, he was almost nondescript.
Yes,
and I could never come up with anything for him. But I've enjoyed it. You know, this is something that's been a labor of love for mine for so long, and I love it because I'm working in such a tremendous environment with a good partner, a terrific technical team. You know, with Jim Angio and Mike Leary there, and Bobby Vorwall and John Walgren with WGN. So it doesn't get much better than that because I know I've worked with some bad ones too in the past, and I know what it is. And when you get a good team, that's really, you know, really what makes a terrific telecast. It's not so much the announcing as it is the technical part of it. You got to have all those elements combined, and when you do, then it's a good telecast.
And you're coming into town next weekend for Sox Fest, and then we're just a couple of weeks after that, you're on the air from Glendale, Arizona, doing spring training games, and it will be not very long after that you're here in April, back on the South Side, calling games on Comcast and on WGN and on WCIU. And this has got to be, in terms of just off-season excitement, this has got to be one of the there's more good buzz around this team than maybe in the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, AJ and I were talking the other day. He was playing with my son in a pro-am, and I went out and followed him 9 holes. And, of course, AJ and I were only talking about the team. We have learned, and I have learned over my time in this Central Division, never overlook the Minnesota Twins. Never overlook the Minnesota Twins. And I'm not going to overlook them. Are we good? Damn right we're good. We've got a good ball club. But the biggest thing is, Kenny has, if you look at, you know, a general manager, Kenny has a comprehensive talent for general managing. Has he made a couple of bad deals? Certainly. Every general manager does. Has he made some good ones? A lot of them. But what happens is that Kenny has a knack. And today, that is the best knack you can have, is it replenishing or restocking or strengthening a bullpen. Because I don't care how good your starters are, and I don't care how good your offense is. If you don't have a bullpen, it's not going to work. And all of a sudden, our bullpen, you know, we lost Bobby, lost a couple other guys. So you go out there, and now he gets a couple of left-handers. We have 3 left-handers in our bullpen, which is terrific. That's if Chris Sale sails out there, which I hope he does. I'd like to see Chris work out of the bullpen. But to strengthen your bullpen like he has is a terrific job. And Kenny is very, very adept at that. So I'm looking forward to a big season. I'm looking in about this time every year, regardless of what happens, about this time every year, my metabolism starts going to baseball. And right now, like my wife, we went out to dinner last night, and we're going and driving over, and she says, "Boy, you're really getting antsy, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." I'm ready to go right now.
So I think the rest of us are too. I mean,
I'm telling you, if it started tomorrow, it wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit. I'd love to have it start because I've been doing this for so long. I've been doing this since I was 17 years old. I'm 69 years old now, and when you're in this game for that long, your metabolism gets used to getting your thinking geared towards, you know, April 1st or opening day, and that's what it is right now.
Well, Hawk, this has been a true thrill, and it's been a blast talking to you, and you got me raring up for the season. So, yeah, let's get this thing started. Well, hopefully we'll play down south in domes until April, but let's do it now.
Well, let's dance. Let's go out and dance with these guys. We'll see what happens.
Hawk Harrelson, thank you very much, and I will see you next week at the Palmer House, and the rest of us will see you on TV in about 6 weeks or so.
Okay, Rob. Happy New Year, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
Hawk Harrelson.